Amen. Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people might riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages, and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," Jesus said. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare me for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Heavenly Father, we give you praise for this glorious morning, for Women's Week, for the opportunity for our ministry to serve you, Father. And I pray that you would take what you've already put in my heart and that you would bless it, and that the people that are listening, Father, could be ministered in the needs, whatever need they may have. Though they be different, you know what everyone needs. And may your word come alive, and may it speak to their hearts and bring hope and bring peace, Father. And may they leave with that never-ending desire to worship you now and forever, Father. It is my prayer. I put myself in your hands, and I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Worshiping the King. When Brother Jay sent me the slide that we're going to have for this week, all I saw were pink letters and a black background. And I said, well, it's kind of plain, but the letters, I got to pick a color. But when I came on Wednesday and I saw what I didn't see on my phone, this lion in the back, I was moved, because we're worshiping the King. And those of you that are C.S. Lewis fans, the Narnia tales, Aslan, I said, oh my goodness, I took a deep breath and I said, that's right. We are worshiping the King. And we said it in our songs this morning, and I'm forever blessed. Thank you, Brother Jay. We're going to get right to it. I get to share with you Sister Martha's heart. She gets the sermon ready, gets the notes ready, and you get to hear her heart, but filtered through what the Lord does with me as I'm preparing and as I'm praying. So you get a little bit of Martha and a little bit of Lupita, and you're used to that. So thank you for your grace and your patience. She starts out saying this: worship is the attitude and the reflection of the heart. She says, when we worship God, we're telling God, I recognize who you are. When we bring worship, we're recognizing God's attributes, all that God is: our Savior, our healer, our provider, the great and mighty God. Worship is the reflection of the heart's attitude, she says. The heart's attitude. It really doesn't have to do much with lyrics and song. She says it has to do more with the attitude of the heart. And that attitude, she says, is reflected in our body posture. And I was trying to see where she was going to go with that, but then I get it. Because in the word, when we want to worship, sometimes it'll make us kneel. Amen. body posture. Sometimes it's going to make you lift your hands, body posture. Sometimes it's going to make you fall to the ground with your face on the ground in worship. And I'm sure, as I have experienced, I've been sent to the ground immediately and saying, God, how I love you. God, how I love you, how I worship you. And we read this in the book of the Psalms. It's confirmed. We read words like, I lift up my hands, or I kneel before my God, or I prostrate myself before my God. What these phrases are saying is, I recognize the greatness of God, of someone, right? I recognize. And she says, a person that does not recognize who God is cannot truly worship him. Worshiping the King. Today, Sister Martha and I want to talk about a time when a woman worshiped our Lord Jesus. And this is the woman mentioned in Mark 14, where we just read. And this woman is Mary, Lazarus's sister. Now, there's another episode in the gospel of another woman who was a prostitute. She also worshiped at the feet of Jesus. But in this opportunity, we're going to talk about Mary's heart and Mary's worship. And as we read in the scripture, it was just 2 days away from the Passover. They were already scheming to kill our Lord. But these religious leaders, they're no dummies. They said, we better not kill him. What did he do but love? What did he do but deliver, but set people free? What did he do but feed the poor? So they were fearful. They said, you know, they can't do it right now because a riot might break out. It was just 2 days away from the Passover, very close to when Jesus was going to walk in triumphantly, right? Christ was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper. He was seated at the table when this woman comes in with this alabaster jar of a very, very expensive perfume. And I don't know a lot about it, but she breaks this jar. She pours it over his head. Nard was a plant that gave an oil that was used in making this special fragrance, right? And this plant was sparse. There wasn't a lot of it. You couldn't get it easily. And in order to make a small amount of it, you needed about 100 kilograms of this plant. So maybe that's why it was so expensive, right? In the Bible, she has a side note, and she says that whenever perfume is mentioned, when incense, sweet smells, when that is mentioned in the Bible, has to do with worship. You remember the temple and the tabernacle and how incense, you know, one of the priestly duties was to light this sweet smell to go up before the presence of the Lord. And sister says it's representative of worship. And some of those that were present there were saying indignantly to one another, what a waste. And sister doesn't have it in her notes, but when you worship the Almighty God, some people aren't going to feel it, and there's going to be criticism. I'm just telling you, don't let anything come in your way of your worship. Don't let anything rob his worship. You got up to worship him. Don't let anything sidetrack you. Here these people are making this thing, this stink about how could she, right? Throw all that away. How could she? What a woman. One that wasn't really thinking, right? Don't let anything. Don't let criticism. Don't you bring your worship. If you're called to kneel, kneel where you are. Forget about who's looking. Do you remember David when he danced and his wife thought he was ridiculous, right? You dance before your God. You sing, even if you're off key a little bit. The word says make a joyful noise. And we already said worship is from the inside out. If you got it all going on, Praise the Lord, you got a gift. Use it for him, right? But if you don't be quiet. Worship. The toads worship. The crickets worship, you know. And just don't let anything keep you from doing it. It says here, some of those that got angry said, what a waste. It could have been sold. It could have fed the poor. They murmured. They were on this poor woman's case. And you got to love the Lord, because when your heart's in the right place, as we said, attitude of the heart, right? When you worship from the inside out, it's going to please your Lord. It's going to please him. He says it. Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. So whatever you can, whatever you got to give, check your motives. I'm always checking my motives. I'm getting ready to stand out here. And I said, I want a lesson. And I want you to magnify yourself in this vessel. It's a broken vessel. It's taped up by the blood of the Lamb. It's a broken life that's been taped up by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this servant has said, I'm going to worship you and I'm going to give you all that I have. I don't have a beautiful singing voice and I got this deep raspy voice, but I can speak. So that's what I'm going to do to serve him and to worship him. And it says, she wrote here, why are you bothering her? Jesus said, she has done a beautiful thing to me. When you worship with the right motive, it's going to please your Lord. And at the end of the day, that's the goal, right? Sister Yanni was saying on Wednesday that sometimes she bickers and she says, I really didn't like that song. And that pastor says, well, it's a good thing. It wasn't for you. It was for him. And then she says, and I get checked, she says, by my husband. She says, wife checked their husbands and husbands check their wives. It's what we do in love. But at the end of the day, we hug and kiss. Amen. It's for him. She has done a beautiful thing to me. Worship is a beautiful thing for our Lord. We're to do it. It says, she has here in her notes, he said, the poor you're always going to have, but I'm not always going to be with you, because he knew that in a couple of days, he was going to be in the Garden of Gethsemane. They were going to take him prisoner. They were going to do all this unlawful, all these illegal things, these trials. And he was going to ultimately hang on a cross, right? He knew. But he says, she has done a beautiful thing. She has done what she could. And I like those words too. It's what you can, right? Praise the Lord. You got a musical gift. Praise the Lord. Doesn't it? It helps us. It helps us. It's like a vehicle for us to sing a song and to elevate us into the presence of Lord. But it says she gave what she could. Give what you can. Always do it from the inside out. She has done what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare me for my burial. That's what he said. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. This woman gave the Lord her best. She dared to pour out this super valuable, super costly fragrance, right, over the Lord. She dared to do that. She comes in there, right? And the woman's worship affected even all those that weren't so happy with it, right? Those that were complaining of what a waste. They didn't value the worship that the woman gave. The only one that's worthy of receiving worship. They didn't value that. They saw it and they criticized it. That's why I'm telling you, worship. Get your worship on early in the morning when you wake up, and don't shut that off. And don't let anything come in the middle of it. Because Satan, as Valerie said, is going to try to rob it. He's been trying to get his worship since the beginning. Wait, well, not the beginning, but whenever his heart was filled with pride. When that day came, he wanted, to be worshipped as God. Don't let anything get in the way. In Matthew 15:8, it says this: "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." You never want to hear the Lord say those words. Never. You pray and you say, "Far from me be the day that you have to turn away because you don't want to hear my song." You pray that. I pray that. I tremble as I say it before you. He says, these people, they give lip service. That's why that song was special. Did you pay attention to the lyrics, brothers and sisters? You know, when we sing, but we don't worship, we give lip action, but it's not coming from here. It's like a thing to do. Far from us be the day that we worship, you know, just from our lips. In John 4:23, it says this: "Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." We hear this. Sister Rosie was talking about this also on Friday. We hear spirit and truth, real worship. It says true worshipers, which makes me come to the conclusion that there's true worshipers and false worshipers. We want to be on the true kind. Spirit and truth. And Sister Martha put, you want to know why spirit and truth? Because that's who he is. Spirit and truth. So he wants to be worshipped in the way he is. That's who our God is. Our God wants worship to be done in spirit and truth because that's what he is. Our God, our liberator, our savior, our healer, our God. Even though we can't see him, we know. Amen. Our entire life needs to be spent worshiping the God that we know. He found us. He healed our brokenness. He clothed our nakedness. He changed the song that we had in our heart. He had us adopted. Those that feel lonely out there and those that feel like nobody cares, he came and found you. He got you. He brought you into his sheepfold. And I don't know you, but that makes me a slave for life to him. I'm indebted to him. Nothing I can do can ever pay back what he's done for me. So worship is like the response. I just have to keep myself in line so that I'm always doing it for him. It says here, we're to worship at school, we're to worship at work, we're to worship at home. We were created to worship. There's this ginormous empty spot in us, inside. You can't see it, the doctors can't see it, and it's this need to worship. And I've heard Pastor Greg Laurie say, everybody's gonna kneel before some altar. We're created to. We just choose to kneel before the King of Kings. Amen. And rightly so. Ephesians 1:12 says this: "In order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory." We did. We trusted him. We came to Christ. We accepted him. And for what? That we might be for the praise of his glory. And I always remember that. Oh, sister, what you did was such a blessing. And you just go like this. Haven't you seen? I've seen sports people do that. Do you see them? They go like this or they point upward. And you and I, we reflect. Thank God that he can even use us, right? And if he does, we just have to remember, you don't say, "Oh, you did like it? Really? What did you like best? The introduction? What ministered to you? What? The intro, the conclusion?" You say over here. You say, he's done so much here that every day that I can bring him glory, it's like Paul said to the Ephesians, might be but for the praise of his glory. So sister says, a true worshiper is one who, number one, is willing to lay everything at the feet of Jesus. And we said that in a song also. It's a tiny offering. Would I bring my song, my worship, my service, my sermon that I lost, that I was, have you saw me walk up and around? I forgot where I put it. And since it's a lot of Martha's notes, all the scriptures, I had the main scripture, but not all the others. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Thank God for Valerie. She said, Tia's right there. Look, you looked there, but it was there. Willing to lay everything, such a tiny offering compared to what you did on Calvary. Nothing I could do can ever compare to that. But still, I'm going to lay it at your feet, right? And then number two, she says, a true worshiper is one that has an attitude of total surrender. And we've heard that. We've just heard it left and right. Surrender. Give your all. Give your whole heart. Now, we've heard it. We just have to do it. And I'm preaching to the choir and I'm preaching to myself. It is the hardest thing to do. Put everything aside and surrender yourself to him. Genesis 22:5 says this. He said to his servants, and this is Abraham, right? When God tells him to sacrifice his son Isaac. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham says, while I and the boy go over there. And then he says this, we will worship and then we will come back to you. The first time the word worship appears in the Bible is this time. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Now, if that isn't faith, I don't know what is. He already knows what he's going to go do. And I'd be dragging my feet, trudging through whatever sand or whatever it was. I think I'd be fighting with the Lord. But look at this faith. That's why we call him the father of faith, right? He says, we will worship. And you know how they would sacrifice to God. And then he said, and then we will come back. True worshiper, for sure. Sister, I think it was, I don't know if it was both Yanita and Rosie talked about obedience, right? And you need to obey. I think it was Sister Rosie. You have to obey. You're going to worship God. You're going to worship him with your, and hopefully, you know, you never have to endure a test as Abraham did. But praise the Lord. His faith was strong. And God blessed him. She said she had three stages in the making of a true worshiper. Three. The first one is the stage of, it's almost like the honeymoon stage. It's called the stage of the love of the Word of God. In Luke 10:38-42, we're going to see Mary again. And we're going to see her. And we're going to see her sister Martha. We know the story, right? Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to visit to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. These were her Martha, Mary, Lazarus were his beloved friends. So when he was in Bethany, he would stop at their house. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. So stage one. Love for the Word of God, there you have love. There's a ton of things to do, but nothing can pull her away from the words of Christ Jesus. Nothing. There was meal to prepare. There was cleaning to do. There was candles to be lit. I don't know, whatever they did. Sweeping and mopping and getting every, the Lord was coming over. And poor Martha's having, you know, she's overwhelmed with all the work and she gets in Jesus's face and she says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her, you know, tell her she's going to tell Jesus what to do. On top of it, she's complaining. She's in his face, right? And then she's going to tell Jesus what to do. I'm like, oh my goodness, Martha, 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 tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, I love it. And I imagine he said it kind of that, oh, Martha, Martha. Imagine he even said it like that. You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. So this love for hearing the word, this love for reading the word, this love, this itch, my day's not my day until I've looked in the scripture to see what he has to bless me. Oh, that that would be our life. I can't wait for the sermon. Pastor's not here, but he would probably be saying amen, right? Amen. Oh, you know, I'm appalled, mind you, a little commercial for Sunday school. Many churches, modern churches now have taken Sunday school out. They have their like small group meetings, no more Sunday school. And it's just what they call an ambiance, right? An ambiance of worship, right? An atmosphere, the worship experience, you know, no more word. Go to sign up for a group. They want a feeling. And I'm not saying, praise the Lord, I feel it. When I feel it, you're going to see me jump. You're going to see me drop. You're going to see me, I feel it. I feel the Spirit. Praise the Lord for ambiance and great everything, a great experience. But a true worshiper, truth is word. Mary can't be pulled away. She's hanging. She's at his feet. She's at his feet and she's catching every word she can. I hope you can catch every word you can. That's the making of a true worshiper. The first stage, the honeymoon stage, right, is when you have this love for the word of God. Passion, right? We're talking about passion. We must be fed and strengthened, Sister Martha put. You need to. You need the word. You need to be edified. You need to be strengthened. You need to be nourished. Your spirit needs to be strong for when the bad day comes, when the bad news knock at your door, when your job is taken from you, when you lose someone that's close to you, when you're left with nothing. A bad day. If your spirit is frail, you won't resist. You succumb, you fall into depression and despair, and many people don't come out. You need the word. You need it to be strong. She said in Acts 13:7, it says this. 13:7, it says, who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, the proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. Hear this politician, right, has got a niche for hearing the word of God. I don't know. The Bible says that the word of God is alive. You know, with his word, he calmed the raging seas. You know, with his word, demons fled. You know what that is? You know what kind of power that is? You know, with his word, he created the universe. You know that he said, let there be light, and light hasn't stopped traveling. Since he said it, it's traveling now. It's still going now. He said it, and, you know, his word. We need to have that desire for that love, that passion. In 1 Peter 1:23, it says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. The living and enduring, that's what made me be born again, God's word. Amen. We are born again through the word of God. We need to have hunger and thirst for the word of God. Let our time of worship and praise at church not be enough. Let it not be enough. You say, I needed my Sunday school lesson today. Or that sermon was just too short. I wonder if pastor's listening. He's probably going to check it on the, he's going to check it. That sermon was, isn't there more? Kind of like how we get when we watch like soaps, kind of. I'm hooked on this one from Netflix. It's called Virgin River. And the season's done. And I was like, So I had to Google, when is the next season coming? And mind you, I'm tech challenged. I am as challenged as they come. Like that. Part one of the sermon, we have to wait 7 days till we hear the next part. Hallelujah! When there's that passion for the word. Stage two is the stage of the testing part. This is the not so good part, the testing, right? So Martha, in John 11, 20 and 26, we all know it. They lose their brother Lazarus. He gets sick, right? They're friends of the Lord. They call on him. Lazarus is sick. Please come heal him. He's healed and delivered and fed. I mean, he walked this world giving miracles. Only a few are in the Bible. Who knows? Countless miracles. Come, our brother's sick. Lord, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, Lazarus already dead, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. I know he will. In the resurrection, at the last day, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe that? He died. The time of testing, the time of pain, the time of frustration, of anger, of denial, of everything. I have nothing to say with that. Two of his apostles, Peter and James, were in jail. One was set free and the other one was beheaded, executed. I don't know why some go, some come, why some healed and some he brings home. I don't have the plan book. I don't know why God takes some early, leaves some for later. I don't have an answer for you. I just know that his name is going to be glorified one way or the other. We all have a set day to be born and a set day to meet him. You don't get to that appointment early or late. It is what it is. And Martha must be angry. My God, you healed everybody else that walked around Bethany, Jerusalem, you know, the strip. You know, but your friend, you're going to go and let your friend die? What's up with that? But when Jesus, okay, suddenly at the time of testing, crisis struck the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, for sure. Their brother Lazarus dies, right? Pain, anguish, dark times. But when Jesus finally gets there, Martha goes up to meet him and tells him, you know, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And if you keep reading that verse, you'll find out that Mary goes up to him, but she falls to the ground at his feet. And I tell you, it's that heart of a worshiper. Instead of getting in his face, was both their brother, she kneels and she says the same thing. If you would have been here, Lord, right? If you would have been here. When Jesus saw Mary crying on the ground and all the people that were there sobbing too, the word of God says that he was deeply moved in spirit and he was troubled, right? And then he said, where have you laid him? We all know, right? He goes out there. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. And the big miracle, this corpse takes life, the stinky, wrapped up, kind of like a mummy, smelly, decomposing, Lazarus comes back to life. But God permits us to go through crisis so that we can grow, so that we can mature in our walk, so that his glory could be manifested. So here's what I say. Since I don't know who he's bringing home and who he's leaving, I'm praying for a miracle while there's life. And I'm going to pray for that miracle, and I'm going to believe all he needs is to say one word, and it happens. And that's how I wrap my thoughts around it, right? When Job was tested, he lost everything in one day. his bad day, his black day, right? His day where business, he buried 10 kids, all that he had. And on top of it, he had all these boils on his body. He would scrape them with a broken piece of pottery. Pretty nasty, right? But here's what he says. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. We sang that this morning too. God gives, and he took away. But even in his taking away, I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to worship. When we nourish our spirits with the word of God, we're strengthened for the time of trial and suffering. If we're weak, then we won't be able to withstand. Stage three is the stage of gratitude and worship. After this woman had nourished herself with God's word, after this woman had endured the time, the stage, the time of testing, right? Then she witnessed a miracle and ushered in the third stage, which is a stage of gratitude and worship. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of nard, right? This woman gives Jesus the best worship she had. The perfume was pure. It wasn't combined. It wasn't mixed with another fragrance or another substance. It was pure. It was what she had in her heart. And we can learn to give God that, not adulterated worship, not half worship, not, I don't know, performance worship, not anything like that. We're not going to shortchange God Almighty, right? The perfume was costly. It represented a treasure that she sacrificed gladly. He rose her brother dead for 4 days from the grave. What do you think was going to come out of that woman? Gratitude and worship. Gratitude and praise. She loved him and worshiped him before she was broken and tested and put through the fire. What do you think comes out after you're put through the fire? Worship and praise. The unadulterated kind, the pure kind, the kind that's clear in your heart and your soul and in who you, in your core. You're like, he's real. He loves me. He's got me. He's faithful. That kind of worship, right? The woman broke the perfume bottle. She poured it over his head. You and me, we are that bottle. And genuine worship will pour out when we're broken. Kind of like the tea bag, remember? You don't get to know what kind of tea it is until it's in the hot water. Kind of like that. And then you smell the sweet tea or whatever it is, right? When we break, it's going to be the climax of our worship. And God dwells with the broken and the humble. That's what he likes to be around. Isaiah, I'm finishing. Isaiah 66 says this. 66:2. Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look on with favor. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit. And who tremble at my word. That's who I look on with favor. In Mark 14:9, it says, truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Have you ever heard that? Like, here we are, we're doing this, we're fulfilling that. Because here we are, talking about this one woman that broke this very expensive bottle, alabaster flask with nard perfume, fragrance, you know, and anointed the Lord to get him ready for what was to come, right? That worshiped him, that gave him all she could. And worshiping the king, nothing held her back. Nothing got in the way. Nothing. And here we are talking about her. Jesus makes a powerful statement. He said that she that her story would be told throughout the world, right? And he wants this act of worship to be in the memory of all future generations. Let all that hear about what this woman did, let all hear about what this woman did every time the gospel is preached. Just like we're doing right now. Jesus is pleased with this kind of worship. And those are final words. The three stages are that love for the word, enduring the test through the hard times. You're not alone. He's with you. Even when you're in that hard time, you're not alone. Emmanuel, God with us. And then you witness, you see his love and everything that he does to bless you. You see it 10,000 reasons plus, or to the 10th power, or to the 100th power. 10,000 reasons of how he loves you. You witness miracles left and right. He didn't have to, but he does it. And your response to that is the third stage. A heart of gratitude and a heart of worship. Let us worship the King. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that your spirit would speak. May we have that itch, Father, that we were talking about, that desire to hear your word. May we be nourished with it, fed with it, that we could be strong when we need it, Father, when the time of testing comes. And may we let all that have breath worship and praise your holy name, King of Kings. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.